today on Real Radio.
Is there a time to be angry? Is there a time to be upset? Absolutely. Can anger and being upset be righteous or justified? Absolutely. But not regarding murder. There's a big difference. You pay attention to what I just said. It's going to come back to us tonight.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his topical series on the Ten Commandments. Now, our text for today is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 13, which in some translations says, "You shall not kill." Yet Scripture at times talks about killings that are not condemned by God, who indeed is the one who commands this. Why? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs with more on the sixth commandment.
The sixth commandment. Number one, jot it down if you're a note taker. I hope all of you are. Why is murder wrong? You say, Jack, what kind of a stupid question is that? Because people today, a lot of young people today, are asking the question, listen, some of us who are older folks, we don't get this. Why is murder wrong? Because a young generation is being taught that life really doesn't matter, and you know what? Whatever feels good, do it. You can do whatever you want. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. It's all about you in this world around us. And murder, well, you know what? If need be, maybe I'll have to do that someday, is the way many in our culture are being brought up. I'd like you to think about these things, about why is murder wrong? Murder is wrong because, listen, these are the foundations to murder. It is the self-assertion that a man can be God. Isn't it interesting that was Satan's doctrine to Adam and Eve, is that the day that you eat of the fruit, you will become like God. Assert yourself. Be strong. Take control. Run over anybody you have to. Just get to the top. It's dangerous because, listen, self-assertion that a man can be like God is this. It's an imposed human authority. Murder happens, and murder is wrong because of human, self-imposed human authority. Murder is the act of absolute jurisdiction, self-imposed. I will take your life because I want your ring, or you're breathing the air that I want, or I'm jealous, or like in England right now, we want the rich people dead. In that sense of entitlement, I want this and I want it now. I told you before, you see that stupid commercial where people open up their windows, I want my money and I want it now. Have you seen that commercial? Don't you want to just slap the people in the TV screen? Grow up, get a job. Self-imposed authority. Jurisdiction, it's mine. Murder comes from that kind of a emotional foundation. Secondly, it's this. Listen, why is murder wrong? It's the intervening in and over another person's life. That's known as man-made sovereignty. It's not only an imposed human authority. Now, it's a sovereignty of man. I'm going to do this. I'm going to rule your life. I'm going to control you. And if you don't do what I say, I'll take you out. And then it's this. It's the pinnacle of control. Thirdly, why is murder wrong? It's the pinnacle of control, and that is an absolute elitism in your mind. Murder happens, the Bible says, in the heart and in the mind. That's where it starts. We're going to hear from Jesus soon that it's all about hatred. Did you know that? If you hate somebody, we'll see in a moment, it's a form of murder, and it's certainly the foundation of murder. But listen, to intervene in and over another person's life, a man-made sovereignty, means that murder is the act of absolute despotism. People want to talk about, control and power. This is the most grotesque. And there are people who are sick and debase and reprobate, and they will seek out people who can be controlled, that they might be a despot over them, an absolute lord. What is this guy that had that young lady cooped up for how many years? How many years is it? 18 years he had her in his cage here in America. And she was his sex slave. She was kidnapped as a young child. What kind of an animal does that? The Bible says it's a person given over to their debased and reprobate mind, that somebody would think that they have the sovereignty and the ability given to them by some sort of bitterness or vengeance that I'm going to commit murder. I'm going to exercise my jurisdiction. I'm going to be a despot over them. And it leads to this manipulation. The pinnacle of control, absolute elitism, is that murder is the act of absolute manipulation. I will control you even to the point of death. The Bible says this is evil, pure evil. And it is the violation of the sixth commandment. Manipulation leads to a delusion, listen, a delusion of self-fulfillment. Why is murder wrong? It's a delusion of self-fulfillment. What do you mean by that? It means this, that this will make the person committing the murder states in their mind, this will make it better for me. If I can just take that person out, or if I just get rid of him, or just get rid of her, or that guy's in my way and I'm gonna do it. Isn't it amazing? It is a justification in the head that it will be better for me that that person is removed from the scene. And jealousy will do this. Listen, church, jealousy will do this. Envy will do this. Pride, arrogance will do this. When a person's domain is threatened, they will dream of, you know, if that person was no longer in the picture, I could have this and I can have that. It's almost hard to believe, I hope, for all of us in this room, it's hard to believe. But buttons can be touched that can trigger emotions. But the Bible is very clear about murder and about killing, and we're going to look at it tonight. Jesus said in Matthew 5:21, and this is serious stuff. Why? Because Jesus is talking about the root to murder. Jesus says, Matthew 5:21, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, now here's the spirit of the law, which trumps the actual law. This is greater than. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, that is a bonehead, actually. Empty-headed fool is what the word means, a bonehead. Early England, it was, if you were a bonehead, you were an empty-headed fool, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of eternal fire. Wow, you say, what? Imagine that. You empty-headed fool. Why is that such a big deal? Because out of the, what? Heart, the mouth speaks. And when it comes out, you're just that far away from being pushed that if you had a hammer in your hand, you could go off. Very dangerous. If tonight you are the type of person with an explosive temper, there is a situation that by the grace of God you have not yet reached. You better get away from that stuff and take it to the cross, because anger and bitterness and rage can be tipped in any human being. Years ago, I was just a kid when this was taking place, but I remember hearing my dad talk about it way, way back on the news magazine program called 60 Minutes. There was a report on World War II atrocities. And they finally captured and brought to justice the Hitler or Nazi officer Eichmann. And there were people there in the courtroom that were Jews that had been tortured by Eichmann. And the court was seated, and the people were there seated, and they brought in Eichmann. And now he's old in age and frail, and he comes up there, and he turns around, and he takes the oath, and he sits down, and one of his victims was sitting there, and as soon as they saw Eichmann's face, they fainted and fell. They had to stop, and they, later on, I believe it was Wallace on 60 Minutes interviewed the man and said, why did you faint? Because you saw Eichmann brought back so much shock and terror. And the guy said, no, not at all. He said, I saw the man as he is, so frail and weak. And I realized that when I looked right into his eyes again, that there go I, but for the grace of God, I could be an Eichmann that fast. You think about that for a moment. Is there a time to be angry? Is there a time to be upset? Absolutely. Can anger and being upset be righteous or justified? Absolutely, but not regarding murder. There's a big difference. You pay attention to what I just said. It's going to come back to us tonight. The degrees of murder and capital punishment listed in the Bible are mainly, not always, but mainly found in Exodus chapter 21. I want to just point out a few of these for you. You want to write these down. This is kind of cool. Exodus 21, 12. He who strikes a man so that he dies surely shall be put to death. Who says that? God says that. Okay, all of you in college, junior high, and high school, you need to listen to this carefully. Because, man, you're gonna have this come up in class. I don't care what class you have. You can be taking botany, and the professor's going to bring this up. Because that's what they do. Oh, do you believe in capital punishment? It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. God does. Well, that's not my opinion. It doesn't matter what your opinion is. Capital punishment. God says, if you take another man's life, your life is to be taken. We'll explain that more in this study tonight. Exodus 21, 14. But if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill or murder him by treachery, lying in wait, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. Now watch this. God says that's the way it is. And the world today says, well, that's wrong, that's weak. Only a lunatic would do that. No, only a lunatic would disagree with that. Well, who said, this is God's word. Now tonight you want to be asking the question, why does God say this? What's the big deal? You see, I'm going up against a block wall here tonight. Our culture has devalued human life. So this sounds strange to you. Oh, what's the big deal? So somebody blows somebody away. Happens every day in LA. Yeah, that's true. That's too bad, isn't it? Exodus 21, 16. He who kidnaps a man and sells him, or if he is found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. Did you know kidnapping is punishable by death? And it has been for years until recently in America? Deuteronomy 19, verse 4. And this is the case of the manslayer who flees there, that he may live. This is a situation where a person gets killed. Listen, a person gets killed, and it's not premeditated murder. It's like I'm swinging. Well, why don't I just read it? It's going to say it right here. It says, and this is the case of the manslayer who flees there. That's the six cities of refuge that God had established for an accident, that he may live. Whoever kills his neighbor unintentionally, by accident, not having hated him in time past, as when a man goes to the woods with his neighbor to cut timber, and his hand swings a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slips from the handle and strikes his neighbor so that he dies, he shall flee to one of the cities and live. God had cities of refuge throughout Israel that if an accident happened, before the guy's family found out about it, went berserk and killed you, so you could have a fair trial or fair treatment. If it was an accident, you would run to a city of refuge, and the high priest of that city would protect you because it was an accident. Isn't that fantastic? You may not think that's such a great deal, but listen, you living 3,000 years ago, that's tremendous, as it were, constitutional rights. It was an accident. You were to be protected. Why? Because it was an accident. The word of God is awesome. Exodus 21, 28. If a bull gores a man, I don't know if your bull has ever gored a man, but. So, I don't know. Insert dog there, I guess. But anyway, if a bull gores a man or a woman to death, the bull must be stoned to death and its meat must not be eaten, but the owner of the bull will not be held responsible. If, however, the bull has had the habit of goring, and the owner has been warned, but has not kept it penned up and it kills a man or a woman, the bull must be stoned and the owner also must be put to death. That is awesome. And by the way, that's insane, that's insane. You know what? That sounds like it's written by an attorney, doesn't it? But we do that today. Our whole system of protection under the law is based upon this. If you have something, for example, if you have something and the manufacturer doesn't make it right or something's faulty and it winds up killing somebody, listen, the manufacturer is going to go to jail, man. They're going to be in big trouble. Where does that come from? Judeo-Christian law, right out of the Bible. Pretty amazing. 1 John 3:15. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Imagine that. If you've never touched a living soul, but you just hate people, you hate that person, and you I wish him dead. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to pick up an axe. You don't have to do anything. You just hate them. And you think you're doing really good, and God knows the heart. He sees that. Listen, this is what it means. If you have the opportunity and no one's looking, and you think you can get away with it, you'd kill that guy. You'd kill that girl. Isn't that something? We are to hate hatred. We are to despise it, resist it, and fight it. Why? Because murder is wrong. It begins in the human heart, and it can lead to absolute eternal damnation. Secondly, point number two tonight, the sixth commandment, number two. Does anyone have the authority to take a life? That's a question that's asked. Does anybody have the authority to take a human life? There is an inherent sanctity of life built into every human being that is normal, that is. There is a built-in sanctity of human life built in by God in every human being. I personally believe this, but maybe I'm biased on this by the way that I was raised, but I was raised that animals are to be well taken care of. I remember my dad teaching us, you don't kill anything unless you eat it. You see, what kind of a dad did you have? My dad grew up, was born and raised on a farm in the Midwest, and they were taught as hunters and stuff, you don't just go around shooting stuff. You only shoot that which you are going to eat. And by the way, did you know that's what the book of Proverbs says? And what's weird, you see people growing up and they just, you know, in fact, those of you in law enforcement, you can say this better than I can, that there's a propensity in people that from the earliest of ages, because they're not taught to be gentle or to care or to be careful, they get into this sick perversity of killing animals. That's a very dangerous indicator. It's a very weird thing. There's a sanctity of life because you've been created in the image of God to honor life, even if it's an animal. Why do I bring that up? Because the Lord says, yes, there is a time that someone may have the authority to take a life. Did you know that? In Genesis chapter 9, verse 5, Genesis 9, 5, the Bible says, surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast, I will require it. If a beast kills a man, the beast is to be put to death. And from the hand of a man, if a man kills a man, the man's to be put to death. From the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of a man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. Why? You want to say why? For in the image of God, He made him. God made a human in the image of himself. And God says, you say, what kind of a justification is that? Have you ever talked to people? Well, that doesn't make sense. You're answering evil with evil. No, no, no. God says, if a person takes a life, it is so precious and out of his jurisdiction, out of his realm to manipulate, out of his powers, he has no business ruling over someone's life and taking their life, that if that person takes someone's life, number one, you got a bad person on your hands. Number two, God says life is so sacred and should be sanctified that by the judgment and punishment of the perpetrator being put to death, the life for the life is honored. And our culture has lost that today. Well, you say, what do you mean? When you commit murder today, what do you do? If it's a bad enough murder, If it's a really bad murder, you get to have a cell with DirecTV and privacy. If you're really bad, you get privacy. If you're not so bad, you have to bunk with people. It's absolutely out of control. God says if somebody murders somebody, they are to receive a swift hearing. Book of Leviticus says that the trial should be not postponed. The trial and the investigation should start immediately. And when the conclusion is that the man is found out guilty, he is to be put to death. You guys, England for years, I think they ended this about 80 years ago, maybe 90 years ago. But England, when someone was convicted of a capital offense, that means they were going to be put to death. England, once the person was found guilty, the person was obviously incarcerated. And every day, a pastor would come from the Church of England and give the guy the gospel every day. And then on his last day, would give him the opportunity to accept Christ. And they would say, in a moment, your head's gonna swing from the gallows. And you have an opportunity right now to accept Jesus Christ, have your sins forgiven, and inherit eternal life. Now you gotta stop. You gotta stop for a second and think about that. You are going to die. Oh, by the way, the night before your hanging, you know what they did? They would bring in your casket and put it in the room with you. You know why they did that? See, today people would say, that's torture. That's torture. Can't do that. Do you know why England did it? They brought the casket in and caused the man to be aware that his life's coming to an end soon. You better accept Christ and be saved and go to heaven. You better get forgiven. It's a little bit of a skit. Incentive, yeah. People today, the ACLU would sue over that. You're bothering the guy by doing that. Right? Think about it. You can't do that. England said, no, it helps people make the decision for Jesus. And they go to heaven when they die. Can you imagine? How beautiful is that? You're guilty of murder. And then the preacher, the pastor comes in and says, oh, by the way, you can accept Christ if you're convicted of your sins, if you understand and confess that you're a murderer. Jesus died for your sins on the cross, and you can have your sins forgiven. Isn't that amazing? What have you done in life? Jesus can forgive you of it. Even murder. The Bible says concerning Christ, all manner of sin shall be forgiven a man if he trusts Christ. Lying, cheating, stealing, murder, blasphemy can all be forgiven if you just come to Christ. But that man in England knew he was going to be dying. The Lord says, yes, because of man's life being taken, the perpetrator, his life shall be taken. It's called capital punishment. And it wasn't until after the flood of Noah did God grant authority to man to exercise capital punishment. There's the realm of jurisprudence that is authorized to take life. The judicial system given in the Bible. It's found in Deuteronomy in the book of Leviticus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a lesson that takes a look at the sixth of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. It's a valuable lesson today on a commandment that sometimes leads to unnecessary controversy simply because it's misunderstood. There's more to come in this presentation by Pastor Jack, so please be sure to join us for tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you happen to have any questions about Scripture or maybe something that you've heard here on Real Radio, now you can ask Pastor Jack. Ask Pastor Jack is a way of getting answers to your Bible questions and life questions in general. And if you listen real close, you might just hear your question and answer right here on Real Radio. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on the tab that says Ask Pastor Jack. Or simply email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's Ask Pastor Jack, all one word, @realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.